This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at jwright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, you can download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can even listen on demand, stream anytime, anywhere. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter on X at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
It is a good day. Good day to you. It's been a nice Friday.
Been a nice Friday. Of course, we got Father's Day weekend. We've got lots of sports on the calendar. It's Friday, so that means we also welcome to the program the host of VSiN's College Football, College Basketball Betting Podcast, the VSiN Betting Tailgate Show, Saturdays, 9 a.m. Central Time. Check your local listings. You can also see him on VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights. Download the VSiN Watch app on Twitter, on X, at one Tim Murray. Tim, good day, sir.
Howdy. How we doing?
Oh, we're doing just fine, considering we have Panthers plus 180, and for the first time in Stanley Cup history, a team leading 3-0 lost outright in the game.
I got asked last night while I was on air, the point spread was 3.5 goals after the first period, and my co-host looks at me and he goes, "Would you take the Oilers plus 3.5? I'm like, no. No way. No way I would touch that. And then they won the game.
So I think it would have depended when you asked me, because, George, feel free to chime in, because I know you love the puck. When it was 3-0, I agree. But when I saw that first goal go in at 3-1, I was like, uh-oh. This is like, you know, as we all know, 3-1's the most dangerous lead in sports.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I had sensed that there had been a significant change. And, like, that is the thing about the Oilers. Like, you can blink and they can score 3 goals.
I mean, watching that game last night and watching the first period unfold, I mean, I also had to turn it off because, you know, they showed celebrities on my—
We're
going to
get into your takes.
it was just ridiculous. Think of the children. Think of the ratings.
I mean, I think you could make the argument when you are showing Tavis, you are thinking of the ratings.
Yeah, a sport point. That once upon a time had its Stanley Cup on versus. Just pointing it out there.
But miss it.
As for the game,
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
As for the game, when Darnell Nurse committed that just terrible penalty, I'm like, what? They're doing it again? Like, we just saw them commit 21 penalties in game 3, and Evander Kane, who had, what, 2 penalties in the first period of game 3?
I think the way that I thought about it was, a hockey game is 60 minutes, and they had 83 minutes of penalties.
Yes. And then they just, it felt like in
that's
that
tough
first period, they're just going to do it again.
Well, to your point, the Panthers scored on a power play, and because it was, like, I looked up, I was like, okay, they scored, and then I saw they were still on the power play because I hadn't seen the exact, like, what caused it. I was like, I didn't realize it was a major. It's like, when the power play continues, you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah. But then the Oilers, I mean, are the Oilers a little bit like the Indiana Pacers? A little cockroachy? Because if you think back to the start of this postseason run, lost the first two games to the Kings, made the change in goal, and then they go on this run to the Stanley Cup final. Now, they're not a pesky underdog by any stretch of the imagination. They are, you know,
they were slight favorites coming in, yeah.
Yes, they were a slight favorite to get revenge of the Florida Panthers. They were obviously here just a year ago. But to your point about the first goal we saw from the Oilers, that power play that they were on, and ultimately Ryan Nugent-Hopkins scored the goal, it felt like there was new life there. They were peppering Bob, and I'm like, whoa, I did not expect this. And then I almost failed geometry in high school, so probably not the best person to talk about this, but I don't know how, from an angle standpoint, Darnell Nurse's goal can go in. Like, that was one of the most beautiful shots from, you know, from the corner, somehow sneaks it over Bobrovsky's shoulder by, what, like an inch?
Right, and next to the ear.
And then here we go.
I mean, the only explanation, spin. Ryan Whitney of Spit and Chicklets had pointed out, and I didn't notice it because I'm a hockey, you know, I'm not exactly an expert. But Edmonton is peppering Bob's glove hand.
Yes.
Like, they're trying to, if they can, they're trying to shoot everything at his glove hand. Because they think he can't, it's impossible to go low on him because of his flexibility and how quick he is. And stick side's not great either. So they're just trying to go that way. I don't know. That to me, that, and I know hockey, it's like it doesn't quite play out that way, but that felt like one of those losses where I think I'm sitting here with a loser now.
I think Edmonton wins tomorrow night, but I also think my gut tells me, and my gut was wrong for game four, the betting market agreed with me, but I thought we were going to get an under game last night. And we did not. We had,
I don't think we've had one yet, have we?
We have not. Overs 4-0.
Yeah.
First period overs 4-0. It has been plethora of goals. But I get this feeling with Pickard back in the lineup for the Oilers, the way that he played last night, and then Sergei Bobrovsky is not going to have another performance like that. Like, that dude is too good. So I went back to the well. I went under again for tomorrow night. We can get to our bets a little bit later. But that all being said, it wasn't like the Oilers scored four unanswered and then slammed the door shut. The Panthers tied this thing up and forced overtime.
That was the best part. It was to make it just more painful for me.
Because, oh, sure. Yeah, for betting, like, yeah.
Like, you get the hope. And to me, I knew the Panthers were dead when Reinhart had that look in overtime, and it was basically one-on-one, and when he couldn't put it in, like, I just feel like,
Didn't
watched
Bennett
in gambles,
I was gonna say, between that and Bennett
hit the top of the post,
ringing the crossbar,
but when Reinhart, if Bennett's goes in, that's just like a miraculous shot.
Even because Pickard actually made the save on it that went off the top of his glove.
Yeah, like, it was, I don't know, like, to me, like, that one would have been like kind of a gift. The Reinhart one was like, the when you don't put that one in, it's just like when you've gambled this long, you know how that's going.
Yeah, that's like, I have a pre-series bet on Edmonton. It wasn't a massive bet, but I thought it was toast. I mean, I thought it was toast after they lost 6-1 in game three, and then to be down 3-0 after the first period, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, really? I'm like, man, I kind of wanted seven games in this series. I just wanted to be entertained. And then we get, I mean, the irony of and I'm not even talking about the Taylor Travis terrible takes. The irony of
your takes terrible.
A lot of these morons out there who have enormous platforms telling us that,
well, you know, the TV ratings are going to be bad
for the Stanley Cup and for the NBA Finals. And we talked about this before. Why do we care? Like, I'm not in the television ratings business. I don't care about what TNT's getting. I want to be entertained. And how can you honestly sit here after three games of the NBA Finals and four games of the Stanley Cup Final and not be wildly entertained? We've had, what, two duds of the seven? Game one was not amazing until the end of it for the NBA Finals. Game three, I thought, was fantastic on Wednesday night. Game two was, it was okay. Not great.
I thought game two was a dud, and then in game three of the Stanley Cup, it was a dud of a competitive enterprise, but it was kind of a train wreck to watch that was still entertaining because of the, like, I don't think I've ever seen, it literally, like, seemed like a scene out of a Will Ferrell movie when you had the three simultaneous fights going on the ice.
It was Slapshot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think, and I think tonight, I think we're going to get another good one tonight, and I'm sure we'll talk more about it. But I've been very, very impressed and entertained by the seven championship games we've gotten so far. And, you know, after 20 minutes last night, I thought we were kind of on the verge of this just being a, here
we go. When it had collectively been 9-1 in the last four periods that you'd watched.
Yeah, I was like, all right, we're done here.
And like it really, and I give Edmonton credit because that felt like the spot where you could easily lay down, and they did not. But yeah. Many are asking, did Taylor bring them back to life?
I think she actually went into the locker room, did a live performance for them, and that resurrected the Edmonton Oilers.
Okay, so let's get into this because your problem is you have no time for the people that have no time for Taylor and Travis. And to which I largely agree in the sense of I always think the reaction is wildly overdramatic given what you're actually exposed to. I find it hard to believe, even with last night showing her fairly frequently, I find it hard to believe if you put a stopwatch on, we were subjected to it for more than 45 seconds.
So, for myself, can you guys let me know what actually was going on with that and the reaction? I only caught bits and pieces of the first and second. As you know, I was working trivia.
Right.
And then I caught the entire third and overtime.
Okay, so Taylor and Travis.
I knew they were at the game. I got like once or twice.
Taylor and Travis were at the game, and hockey fans, basically hockey fans online and also Tim's co-host last night, had the same reaction that we as NFL fans dealt with when we were first exposed to Taylor shows up. To which I would also point out, the first time she showed up, it was the Bears-Chiefs game, and it was like 38-6.
What else? The Bears were in that game.
Yeah, so. What else were they going to show? Jason. Like, I mean, like, it was the biggest star on the planet showed up at a football game that was terrible. So Tim's problem is he has no time for everyone that freaks out about showing her.
Why are they showing them? Because it's hockey.
Well, they always show celebrities.
First off, let's just go through the list of here. A, they always show celebrities. And my always rebuttal to everyone losing their marbles over them showing the biggest pop star on the planet is that, do you recall the Team USA gold medal game? They showed Tom Cruise like 57 times.
Well, yeah, but Tom Cruise is different.
Is he?
He scaled the world's tallest building for a stunt, and then he actually did the stunt. I don't know if you know that he does his own stunts. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay.
He flies helicopters.
And I had no problem with it because it's
and he jumped off like he literally did a stunt on a biplane.
Biplanes are pretty cool.
Yeah. He made a biplane show up in a movie in 2025 kind of makes sense for a little bit. They needed to go analog. Spoiler alert.
EMPs, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. They had to fly below radar.
So my co-host, and look, our listeners at VSiN, I would say are mostly male, probably in their, I don't know, 30 to 60 range, right? So
I mean, I would imagine the people that are listening and consuming VSiN and the people that are also consuming pop culture at the highest level, the Venn diagram is two different circles.
So I had to laugh last night because the premise of my show at night on the weekdays is live betting, right? We're trying to keep tabs on as many games as possible. And obviously we focus on, in particular, one game every night. And last night it was the Stanley Cup Final. So that's the main screen we're watching the most. And my co-host, you know, multiple times brings up,
ugh, they keep showing Taylor Swift.
And I'm like, why does this bug you? Did you grumble when they showed Ben Stiller 55 times at Knicks games or Timothée Chalamet and his Kardashian or Jenner girlfriend? I don't understand the disdain for, it's not like Taylor Swift went to the trucks of Turner and said, hey, we're going to be in this box. Can you show us a bunch? It's the hockey championship. It's the Stanley Cup Final. Do you want me to tell you the ratings of the Stanley Cup Final a year ago? 1.6, 1.9, 1.8, 1.4, 2.1, 2.1. Game 7 was 3.7. That ain't good. And when you have the world's largest superstar there with her very popular boyfriend, they're probably going to show him. Oh, by the way, it was a 3-0 game after the first period, where it looked like it was going to be an absolute dud.
Okay, I can meet you halfway.
Gary Bettman should have a picture framed in his office with Taylor Swift at a bleeping hockey game.
No, I'm with you on that.
She wasn't there being Rob Lowe with an NFL hat on when they pan to him and say, Rob, hey, he's on this stupid show on Fox.
Rob just wants a good game, and he just wants both teams to play hard, and he protects the shield, so we thank Rob for his service. Okay. I'm with you on all that. The problem, though, is you act as if, yeah, she did not go to Turner's truck and say, like, here's where we're going to be. But she also knows when we show up, they're going to find us. And
of course,
as someone
they find every celebrity.
As someone who has consumed Taylor Swift content from the beginning, the idea that she just wants to be left alone is not true.
And I wasn't saying that whatsoever.
Correct. But this is the biggest point I would make. Where I disagree with you wholeheartedly is you have to acknowledge their personalities can both be annoying.
I guess. You've disliked Travis from the jump.
Correct. I've always found him to be like awful. I can't stand him.
Okay. Did he talk on television last night? Or was he at a sporting event near to where he's training for his, what, 17th season in the NFL?
I think tight ends are kind of like new running backs. I feel like when they're in their 30s, they're in dog years.
He's like 37. So my question is, maybe one day the Jeffrey Wright and Company program will get me to the Travis Kelce or Taylor Swift level. But my question is, will the NBC Sports Bay Area cameras catch me next Thursday when I take my son to a Giants-Guardians game? And will there be an outcrying of, well, he has no connection to those teams. Why is he there? Maybe they wanted to go watch a sporting event.
No, I definitely think there is something to...
Like, I was sitting at the bar at the end of regulation, and the goal is scored, and they pan around the stadium. And of course they're going to show them. And guess what? They were still there. They could have left like Mark Wahlberg, who was a true Patriots fan, right? From the Super Bowl.
Also rooted for the Giants.
So I just, it's kind of comical. You know what? They probably would have showed other celebrities, but there weren't any there because it's hockey.
Okay. I'm with you on that. The problem though is when you have a annoying personality, and they show someone, people have the reaction. And so I
explain to me the annoying personality.
Like whenever I see Travis Kelce, I just roll my eyes. He's awful.
Okay. I mean that's your personal opinion, but people don't get mad about him. They like him generally. The people were mad about her, and I'm like, she hasn't given an interview in like 2 years. She's just toured around the world and sold out every stadium imaginable.
Okay, because here's the other problem. Now, granted, hockey fans are different than NFL fans, but there's some overlap.
But I think
a lot of the pushback is this, though. It's not just Taylor showing up. It's when the Swifties show up. Because when the Swifties show up, they're not great house guests.
The NHL should be begging for the Swifties to show up. Are you kidding me?
I'm with you, but we're not discussing this from the NHL's perspective. I agree with you on that. What I'm saying is, as sports fans, when the Swifties come over to your party, they don't just hang out and have a good time. They try to take over the party and have it be what they want it to be. And I do think there is there's a little trepidation. People are a little gun shy. People have a little PTSD of when the Swifties showed up and watched football for the first time. They were not great house guests.
I think the overall point is this. If you were bugged by 37.4 seconds of coverage of the world's largest pop star at a hockey game, check yourself. Were you bugged by Timothée Chalamet and Kendall Jenner or Ben Stiller or Reggie Miller? They show those guys all the damn time. They show every celebrity at a Lakers game. And celebrities don't often show up. George, you could back me up on this. At hockey games. And she was there.
Unless it's a Kings or a Rangers game.
It was kind of cool, right? Like, I just thought it was kind of cool.
Well,
TNT,
Wayne Gretzky in the building.
And he went and talked to them.
Have some respect.
And he went on his own volition into the suite and talked to them.
I suspect he probably had a hand in getting them there.
Good.
I mean, I will say this. I don't think it's unreasonable to ask if you're just watching, like, what are they doing there? Now, I also think inherent in that or included in that, I think there probably is maybe unidentified jealousy, because I do think one of the perks of being one of the big stars is if you and I could gallivant around the world and just go to the best sporting events, we'd love to do that.
Absolutely.
I mean, for what it's worth, I was watching the game when they first showed them. When I was watching the actual broadcast, I was like, oh, okay. I mean, to me, it's just another set of celebrities. And for what it's worth, they always call it Sunrise. Oh, they're in Sunrise. They're in Miami. That's Miami. The stadium backs up to the Everglades. Like, it's not like they're tucked away in Edmonton.
Yeah, but like, Sunrise is like, you're down in Miami, like, it's part of the SMSA, but at the same time, it's like, it's out there. Like, you're not
Yeah, but you're not in Edmonton.
Yeah, no,
you're not in the middle of Alberta.
I think you also have to think about this, man.
Well, Brooksy wasn't able to go yesterday, you know, a true Panther fan, so they had to fill in for him as a celebrity. I think Travis is training for, you know, his job in Florida, which many professional athletes do.
He's going into year 13, by the way.
And I guess they were like, hey, let's go to a badass hockey game tonight. Okay, cool. Let's do it.
I agree.
We're super rich. We could go to anything we want to.
Okay, I guess, though,
if only.
I also don't think it is unreasonable to go, what are they doing there? Like, I think there's a natural...
What are they doing there versus, oh, I can't believe they keep showing them.
No, I agree with you on that, but we also don't know, like, how much of the reaction was just Edmonton fans that were down 3-0 and they were being exposed to Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce celebrating.
Canadian, they're nice.
Yeah, but like
the people that were tweeting me weren't Canadian.
I'm telling you, the Canucks can actually get kind of, I think they take it out on Twitter. They can get,
if you, oh, down you don't 3-0, don't you know?
Well, yeah.
You don't literally mean the Canucks where they burnt down a city after they lost a finals?
Well, what was the Vancouver?
That was the Vancouver Canucks.
We do that here in our country, too.
Yeah,
don't you worry.
Oh, yeah. We're all, I mean, that's.
No, it usually happens here if we win. Looking at you, Philly.
Don't bring that up. All right. I think we've thus we've done our due diligence on Taylor and Travis. Okay. I do think the thing that's interesting to me about game four tonight, I don't actually think I'm being a hater. I feel like I've had an appropriate amount of hat tip and respect for the Pacers. As I told you before, the Knicks series was like, I don't see why the Pacers are underdogs. They've been playing better the entire playoffs. I took it. I feel like I've had the right approach with the Pacers. I'm still not convinced. This is the dilemma that I have is, I think if OKC wins tonight, which I expect, I think the Thunder are fine. The problem is, if they don't win tonight, I think this is the Pacers need to not screw up to pick up a trophy. But then it just feels like you're begrudging, like you're admitting it too late. Like you're just jumping on because like that's where you think they're going to win. And I'm not really there. I thought coming into Indianapolis, the most likely outcome was a split. And if indeed the Thunder achieve a split tonight, like I still think they're fine.
Oh, I agree. And I don't think that's you being a hater on the Pacers. I think that's what I've struggled with a bit with this whole postseason run, because I did not think they'd beat the Cavaliers. Well, all right, let's start first round. They were the favorite against the Bucks. There were some people who, well, you know, the Bucks have got Giannis. It's like, yeah, but they stink, and they smoke. They beat them in five.
They've
games.
Had Giannis all year.
Yeah. And Dame got hurt, but even with a healthy Dame, he was hurt to start this year because he had the blood issue, right?
It wasn't like when Dame was healthy and playing that the Bucks were. It wasn't like they went from Pacers, a good team to a, like, oh, well, now they're just, oh, man, like it's a team devastated by injuries. They had not been playing good with him.
The Pacers beating the Bucks, not a surprise. Pacers beating the Cavs, very surprising, in my opinion.
I think if you would have just said that before the series, the Pacers are going to win this in five, that would have been surprising. But I think when you factored in the context of how the series played out with the injuries to the Cavs, I think it made more sense. But I am still with you. The fact that they handled them with ease was a little bit surprising.
Well, and Garland was hurt coming into the series. They kind of pressed him back in, right? Yeah. They had more injuries come about. But yes, that was very surprising. Then beating the Knicks. Now, I did not bet either side of that series. And to your point, it was a great bet by you to take the Pacers at plus money. But people need to realize, I think there's a misconception out there that the Knicks were this massive favorite.
It was plus 130. And I think what the Knicks would have been at that point, what, minus 150, 145, something like that?
Yeah, and I think it went down to minus 140, plus 120, essentially just giving the Knicks the nod because they had
home court, yeah.
Right, so it was a true pick'em series. So I think there's a misconception out there on the Knicks because it was a true coin toss series. Here we are in this series. I'm pretty surprised that we're at this point. Now, if it's 2-2 after tonight, which I expect it to be, then there's a likelihood that the Thunder just wrap this thing up in six. You know, but I'll say this about the Pacers. I think game one, while they deserve the credit for coming back and Tyrese Halliburton hitting the shot, I thought it was a fluke. You came back from 15 down with 9 minutes to go. The Thunder got tight.
How can I say I think it, respectfully, I think it was a fluke? Because there's something about...
It was fluky. I'm not going to... They have done this so much where they came back in game five.
Yeah, I can't.
They came back in game two against the Cavs. It was game five against the Bucks. Game two against the Cavs. Game one against the Knicks. And then they did it again against the Thunder. But I thought if you looked at the game and how it played out, where the Thunder could not turn any of those turnovers into buckets, where they, I think, were like 13 of 36 or something insane from inside the paint, I thought that was fluky. But my point is, Game three wasn't a fluke, man.
No. I would say this. If I'm like evaluating why I thought the Thunder were going to win the series before and what I would actually question, what has surprised me the most is I thought coming into the series, I was aware that the Pacers had good depth. I've watched a lot of them. I still thought the Thunder had better depth. And what has played out throughout the course of these three games, and again, maybe it flips, but the Pacers bench has significantly outplayed the the Thunder's bench. Like, to the, I had it written down yesterday. I can't locate where I wrote the stat down. It's, but basically, it's like 132-92. They've outscored them by 40 points, and in two of the three games, they've significantly outscored them. Only in game two did the Thunder bench outscore the Pacers bench, but it was like by 4 points. So the other two games have been like thrashings in the bench. That's where I think, if I'm saying what did I miss and why could I be wrong about this series, that's where I would start.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there have been, I think the game one didn't really give me any pause. I still thought the Thunder had a chance to win the series in five. Game three, actually for the first time, I was like, ooh, could I see it? Because of the depth, because of players
you're
like,
one bad game away from having no margin for defeat. And this yeah. was something George and I were talking about yesterday as well. We haven't really seen the Thunder with their backs against the wall.
Now, they were down 2-1 against Denver.
That has been my point. A part of me not pushing the panic button for the Thunder, not that I'm sitting here in a Thunder up shirt, but and I have no money on this series. But I thought that's who's going to win. But to me, where I just have felt like this series rhymes so much with that Denver series. Mm-hmm. Like, if you think about it, the Nuggets series. Game one, also kind of a fluky Nuggets win. Yep. But you credit, you know what I mean? Like, we keep score for a reason. Game two, blowout for the Thunder. Game three, 9-point win for the Nuggets, and then the Thunder turned around and won game four. Like, I still feel like this series mirrors and rhymes that one with that one.
It feels that way. I guess my rebuttal, and once again, I'm kind of with you, right? I mean, I had a pre-series bet. I've already lost it. I had the Thunder minus 2.5 games. Obviously, that cannot happen anymore. I think the difference between watching... Now, the Pacers have Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam, who are very, very good players. The Nuggets had the best player in the world.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. However,
agreed.
The Nuggets had no depth. And as the series went on, their depth got even hit more when Aaron Gordon got hurt and Michael Porter Jr., you know, had Space Jam happen to him and his skills got relinquished.
And especially when you consider, because they had no depth, the longer the series went on, you felt like they ran out of gas.
Yeah. I don't know about the Pacers here, right? You've got this dude in TJ McConnell who can come off the bench and give you crazy minutes. You've got a former sixth overall pick in Benedict Mathurin who just can get hot like a microwave. You've got a guy in Aaron Nesmith who can, as we saw against the Knicks, just get scorching hot from three. You've got a guy in Nembhard who is a pest defensively and just can kind of get in the head of SGA. So do I think the Thunder are better? Yes. Even if the Pacers win the title, I still will think that the Thunder are a more talented team. But I said going into game three, and I think I said it here, you better win this game if you're the Pacers. And they did. And they impressed me quite a bit because I think the thing that I pull away from game three, they shot 33% from three.
Yeah.
And they won the game. And that was like, whoa.
Now they shot that. I will say this. If you want to talk about an adjustment, something that I'll be watching at least early, while they did not shoot great from three, they were way more effective getting into the paint than they had been in the two prior games.
Definitely were.
And to me, like, that's something that the Thunder have not really allowed much of during the season at all.
I love the NBA playoffs for so many reasons. And one of the main reasons is the chess match. And you've got a elite coach in Rick Carlisle making some moves. And you've got a young coach who's never been there before, but by all accounts, a very good coach in Mark Daigneault. He made a questionable decision with the lineup in game one. He's since kind of tweaked it. But you also kind of saw in game three why he didn't play Hartenstein all that much.
No,
Hartenstein did not play well in game three.
I agree with you. The other thing we were talking about is, and since you're taller, maybe you've had this experience, but can you ever remember getting your shot blocked twice on the same play?
Probably.
Because, like, I was telling George, like, well, because I was always short, when my shot got blocked, it usually just went out of bounds. You know what I mean? Like somebody would swat it out of bounds, so the play's over. Chet getting his shot blocked, he then, unfortunately, because he is so tall, he was able to get the ball back. And I guess technically he didn't get swatted on the second one, but the shot got blocked. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen that happen. Because that was the weird thing about Chet last night, or two nights ago. I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah.
But like I compared it to, it felt to me a lot like kind of Lamar's game against the Bills, where I thought he played pretty well, but he still also made a couple of the mistakes like that you can actually say, like, well, that cost the team.
Well, and then late in the game, to your point, they were just bullying him down low. And they were just getting to the bucket.
But like to your point about Hartenstein, I can see the struggle. The problem is I do think when you do go with the two bigs, I think they have such an advantage on the boards that it gives them some more possessions. But I can see where it's a tough balancing act. But like
yeah,
I guess
they went small in game one and they got out rebounded by 17.
Yeah. And then they count like it felt like the to your point about the chess match, they felt like the adjustment was, all right, we're not putting Hartenstein back into the starting lineup, but we're going to play 20 to 25 minutes with two bigs, and I thought it was effective. I think the other question though is the Thunder in general have not been very good on the road.
0-8 against the spread this postseason.
And I believe now they went Splitsville. What are they, 10-4 at home?
Against the spread?
Yeah.
I don't know off the top of my head, but yes, I think that is accurate. They lost two games at home. I think they cover all of them.
I think when they win, they cover. It's like when they win at home, they cover.
Pretty much.
So, let's see. That would have been 2-3.
I mean, they definitely covered, what, game one against the Grizzlies?
I don't think they've had a win at home in which they haven't covered.
All right, let me just look.
There might have been a game with a push. There might have been a game where they won by like 5.
They covered both against the Grizzlies.
Yep.
They covered game two against the Nuggets. They did not cover off the top of my head against the Nuggets in game 5. They covered game 7. They covered game 1 and 2 of the T-Wolves series. They covered. I think they
pushed that game. The game that you're mentioning, game 5. I think it was a push, but some people may have had 5.5. Some people had 5. I think they pushed that one.
So they've lost 3 games at home. No, 2 games at home this postseason, right?
Yes.
And they didn't obviously cover those. And then, yeah, I think they've
been pretty 3-1, 5-1. And then they had 3-8-1. So I think they're like 7-1-1 at home.
Sounds about right.
Or 7-2. All right, you want to talk a little ball?
Sure.
You got that Phil Steele?
I do.
I want to pull up. We didn't get into a ton of the SEC, but I want to pull up a few of the things because I got some questions and I want to see what Phil thinks. Let's do that next. Also coming up during hour number 2, we're going to get into the list. We've also got Wes Reynolds, great handicapper for VSiN for golf. So we'll talk some U.S. Open as I don't know what to do with this U.S.
Andy,
Open.
He'll also be at, he's a Indianapolis native. He will be at game 4 tonight, and he was at game 3 on Wednesday.
So looking forward to talking with Wes during hour number 2. We'll do that when we come back. We'll talk some ball. Let's do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
ESPN.
All right, Tim, you said off the air you got a device, a premise that you wanted to run by me in terms of college football and our title contenders. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about the quarterbacks, right, this year in college football and the uncertainty that some of the top teams have. And if you look at the odds right now, there are 8 teams that are favored to make the college football playoff. Those 8 are Georgia, Bama, in no order, Georgia, Bama, Ohio State, Oregon, Notre Dame, Clemson, Penn State, and Texas. All of them are favored to make the playoff, meaning if you bet them to miss the playoff, it would be a plus price, right? That is the underdog. So 3 of those teams, I think it's fair to say, feel comfortable or know what they've got at the quarterback position. That would be Clemson, Penn State, and I'm throwing Texas in there, even though I think you can make an argument that Texas has questions because we don't know what Arch Manning is. But for argument's sake, let's put Texas in the they know what they've got category. And when I was running through Phil Steele's positional breakdowns, I was curious to see where he would have those other 5 ranked from a quarterback standpoint. So here it is. He has Georgia 33rd, Bama 36th, Ohio State 46th, Oregon 52nd, and Notre Dame 64th. So that is where they sit in his eyes from the quarterback position entering this year. So what I wanted to do was take all the other positions and average them out and see which of those 5 teams are kind of in the best situation if their quarterback hits. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so...
And also, I was trying to do it off the top of my head. So we know Ohio State hasn't... Not only are they replacing Will Howard, they elevated Hartline, right?
Correct.
So Ohio State's replacing quarterback and coordinator. I'm trying to think.
Georgia's still
with Bobo. I think
Stein's still at Oregon. Ryan Grubb is new OC, but upgrade at Alabama.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then Notre Dame is still Denbrock.
Okay.
So I averaged it out with and without quarterback. So the 3 teams that I mentioned that have a good quarterback, Clemson in Phil Steele's eyes, and once again, this is Phil. I'm not saying he's the gospel, but he puts in the work, and I think he's pretty respected out there for what he does. Clemson, he has as the number 1 quarterback room. Texas, he has at 3. And Penn State, he has at 4. If you're wondering who's 2, it's LSU. If you remove the quarterback, and you look at running back, wide receiver, offensive line, D-line, linebacker, and D-backs for Clemson, Penn State, and Texas. Penn State averages 4.3. Clemson is at 7. So their average of those other six is 7th best. And then Texas is 7.5. If you look at the other five schools without quarterback, removing quarterback, Georgia, 10.7. Bama, 6.3.
So that's the highest so far, correct?
Penn State is actually the highest. They're at 4.3 without a quarterback. Ohio State, 9.7. Oregon, 12.2. And Notre Dame, 4.5. So if you are not including the quarterback position, you could look at Alabama, whose odds are as high as 15-1 to win the national championship. They have, in Phil Steele's eyes, the 7th best running back room, 4th best wide receivers, 9th best offensive line, 6th best D-line, 10th best linebackers, 2nd best defensive back. When you throw the quarterback into Bama, it jumps to 10.57. Now, my question is this. Ty Simpson could end up being a miss, there's no doubt. He was a 5-star prospect coming out of high school. He's been in this system now for a couple of years. And if Ty Simpson hits with a head coach in Kalen DeBoer, who is known as a quarterback whisperer, an offensive coordinator that he has worked with extensively at pretty much every stop he's been at, if you're getting the Alabama quarterback room as of right now as the 36th room, and it jumps to, let's say, top 10, aren't we looking at an Alabama team as pretty darn loaded?
Okay, so I wanted to take a look at their schedule. Yeah. So they have the
schedule's very challenging.
They open at FSU.
12.5 point favorite.
I was doing it off the top. I assumed they were double digit favorites.
Yep.
Louisiana Monroe,
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin at home. Mm-hmm. All right. Then they have their open date and they go to Georgia.
Yep. Underdog there.
Vandy at home.
Ooh, revenge spot.
At Missouri. Tennessee at home. Out at South Carolina. So the only game they will be an underdog in is Georgia, correct?
Correct.
All right. And what? Probably somewhere between what? 4 and 6?
I think the look ahead line was 4.5.
All right. And I was trying to look up, when is the last time Georgia lost at home?
Ooh.
They got close. Tech got close. I'm looking it up right now. Home.
Well, they didn't lose a game in 2022.
Their last home loss is 2019. 2019, that South Carolina game where it was like pouring down rain and Jake Bentley beat him.
Okay, yeah. So that'll be a challenge, no doubt. But you're afforded a loss or two in the SEC, obviously. And then you've got a weird spot at South Carolina that I think will be tricky coming off of the third weekend in October. You play LSU. You play an Oklahoma team who will be coming off a bye. Revenge spot for Bama. But that's also coming off the LSU game, but you're at home. I just think...
By the way, I just counted up. I think that's 31 games.
35.
35 at home?
Yeah, I found 35.
Jeez. Yeah, that's ridiculous. I think the two teams
they've
that,
not lost at home this decade. Think about that.
in the SEC.
No. Period.
I'm just saying, and they're in the SEC.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, though, for a while, that was the East.
True. Good point. So my point was, I think Alabama is being slept on just a little bit if you look at the talent that's out there. But the risk you're taking is the quarterback position. Is Ty Simpson going to hit? Could it be the true freshman who I think was, what, the second or third best prospect, according to 247 a year ago? So there's a lot of curiosity and obviously questions at the quarterback position. But, you know, maybe Ty Simpson hits. Maybe it's Keelan Russell. We'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I feel like
they're top 10 in every position other than quarterback.
My early read is I think people are treating LSU the way that I would treat Alabama. Also, I would factor in the fact that the LSU game is at home for Alabama this year.
Mm-hmm. They're both coming off a bye. There's no rest advantage. You know, look, Kalen DeBoer, the pressure was on last year. They shouldn't have lost to Vanderbilt. They shouldn't have lost to Oklahoma. I didn't feel like they knew really what to do with Jalen Milroe.
So my read on it is I think the problem was Jalen was insistent upon developing as a passer. I think if you look at Kalen DeBoer's history, he's perfectly fine throwing it 50 times a game. But when he has a quarterback that can run, he will run him a ton. And obviously, they had some games where they ran him a lot, like the LSU game. But I just always felt like watching Milroe, the biggest problem was like I never felt like he knew where to go with the ball. I just felt like if it was a receiver to the outside that had a one-on-one and he could just chunk it up, that was fine. But like my memory of Jalen's season last year is just watching a crossing route running 30 yards wide open and him not throwing it.
And I think also another piece that's being underlooked or overlooked is the return of Ryan Grubb. I think he might have been the biggest off-season coordinator acquisition in college football. And I know that Jim Knowles went to Penn State. So I think Alabama's interesting. And then you got Notre Dame. And Notre Dame, I was surprised some of these positional rankings. I was like, really? That high? But he has Notre Dame averaging out, if you remove quarterback, at 4.5, which would be second best to Penn State. Second running back room, 14th best wide receiver room. Might be a little too strong there on that. Third best O-line, fourth best D-line, third best linebackers. And he ranks their secondary as the best in the country.
All right, so at Miami, obviously to start, massive game.
2.5-point favorite, tricky spot for sure.
Massive spot for both teams. Bye week early, week two, then they host A&M.
7-point favorite against A&M. A&M, a team that, in the eyes of Phil Steele, he has them as his number two surprise team and has them, I believe, in his power poll at number 9. So he's high on Texas A&M.
All right, Purdue's going to...
Terrible.
They're going to be better than they were last year. It's still going to be the Purdue scrimmage. Okay.
Purdue and Stanford are their two easiest games, and that includes two games against G5 opponents.
I think the Irish actually caught a little bit of a break, as we've talked about, and we'd mentioned, you know, one of the biggest games ever at Arkansas when Notre Dame comes to town. I think they caught a little bit of a break this week. They're going to put that game at 11 a.m.
Yep.
If I'm the road team, give me 11 a.m.
Totally
on the road against an SEC team. All
could be brutally hot, but 11 a.m. as opposed to 7:30 or 6:30 Central, whatever. I had a sneaky suspicion that would happen just because September 27th is absolutely loaded. It's got Georgia, Alabama. It's got Ole Miss, LSU. It's got Penn State, Oregon. So, yeah, I agree. I think Notre Dame caught a big break. Getting that game at 11 a.m. as opposed to prime time down there in Fayetteville, it could be a weird spot, but they just got to win the game. They're a 12.5-point favorite against Arkansas right now.
All right, then they host Boise.
Could be weird. Boise fans will travel.
Yeah, I just always worry about when a G5 team loses a top 10 pick, like, and especially when you consider like how much of the offense he was.
I'll say this about Boise, and this is my Notre Dame hopeful. You're not overlooking Boise. They were in the playoffs.
No, I agree.
Last year.
No,
they're not. I'd rather, as crazy as this sounds, I'd rather play Boise than Toledo. Like, Toledo might be the second best.
Or Northern Illinois.
Or Northern Illinois, yes. Toledo might be the second best group of five team this year, but it's Toledo.
Correct. Right? It's tough.
Boise's got that cachet. They had Ashton Gentry. They went to the playoff. They've been it's a big moment. Marcus Freeman could get his team up for Boise State. The weird game, I think, is the next week when they play NC State.
NC State at home, and then they get USC. Then it's bye week at BC, Navy at home, at Pitt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up. But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.